It's Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, and you're listening to episode 328 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 52 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Pat.
This is Beth.
My name's Chad.
My name is John.
So the announcement that we have for this episode is, of course, Fear the Con 7 is coming up in June.
Be there or be square.
That's right. The site is up. So if you haven't been out there to sign up your games or get your tickets, we'll have a link in the show notes for you to take a look at that.
I can't wait.
You're in the game. Are you running a game? The answer is yes. Are you running a game?
I'm considering what game
I will give you the totem of power, my Innie, to run the game.
I'll give you my Robin D. Laws Award for innovation.
Oh my god, you can array. We'll give you that one. You can array all the totems of power around
yes.
you to make the ultimate Uber game.
Seriously considering running something.
What system are you running in?
It doesn't matter.
What is the totem of power? The game premise is the second one that we talked about.
Well, that was the first one. And then what was the second one?
The second one was, you are all teachers at Mrs. Pritchett's School for Exemplary Young People.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. No, that sounded fun.
Do I like the sound. That sounds naughty.
It could get naughty. The Lurking Horror, except 12-year-old British kids.
I suggest running it in Monster Hearts. I'll be there.
I want to play the Invisible Man.
Oh, dear. So a student is found ritualistically killed. It is the day before Christmas break. There is snow everywhere. Bad cell reception. No power.
Yes.
Mm. Get out alive.
Sounds like you need some power tokens.
I need the Innie.
You're not running it in my silent memory slot. It's all yours. Actually, You know what I'm thinking about running on Fear the Con 7?
What's that,
Chad? Which is going to be awesome. I want to do a revolving GM game.
Oh.
Everybody who signs up is a GM. And every half hour, you pass the thing on to the next person sitting to your right. And then they run it for a half hour, and you pass it on, you pass it on, you pass it on. It keeps going around in a circle.
The people can't handle that level of direct responsibility. They need order and authority.
That's right.
I'll sign up for it.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Control
With
freaks
that
unite.
Threat and or promise, I will put that game up.
Nice.
We just have to run it in second edition. I mean, duh. Not that we're even a question.
Whatever. Second edition?
You can just run your own system when you get the token.
Doesn't matter. Would love to watch the switch over between Chad and John. Chad's like, oh, here you go. And then John's like, okay, now we're putting out the battle mat.
Yeah, I'm like, you get nothing. Roll to save against dying. Why, John?
Exactly.
Because
I said so.
You question me?
Yes.
You're dead.
I'm often mocked and portrayed as a caricature, that's the one, of my truly benevolent yet firm GMing style.
You're a benevolent dictator.
I am a loving hegemon.
You're a loving, kind god.
That's right.
So, I'm going to change topics here. John?
Chad?
Date Dar. What is Date Dar?
Date Dar is...
Because we have it.
Oh, yeah. We executed Date Dar not an hour ago.
Yes.
Date Dar is when you're having a loud, belligerent conversation about Dungeons & Dragons with your 8-top at the restaurant. And there is a Match.com date going on 5 feet away from you, and they're just looking at you in slow terror.
In fairness.
And then they leave like an hour before you leave, even though they got there like 30 minutes after you did.
In fairness, how good a date could it have been? He had a Bluetooth on the whole time.
It was the 21st century date crutch. He didn't even have the dignity to go to the bathroom and make his fake girlfriend call him with an emergency. He just left the headset in his ear the whole time, Saul Goodman style.
I've got to wonder about that. I mean, what is it that possesses a man? Because it's usually a man that I've noticed.
Yeah.
Why do they think they're so important?
Exactly. They're demonstrating status.
Yeah, they have to walk around with their goddamn Bluetooth in 24/7.
Like, I could get a call that's so urgent.
You're not at work right now.
Right.
You're on a goddamn date.
The 2 seconds it takes me to open up my flip phone could be life and death, so I have to wear my earpiece in at all times.
Darling, it's overcompensation for a small penis.
I guess. Wow. I mean, like, wow.
Just saying.
It was a tiny headset, though.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Tiny but powerful.
You have to work, have to work with what you have.
True. He's one of those that says that. It's small but mighty. It's like, yeah, okay.
It has great range.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, so,
Mike has a great line.
You know, I will say
it
was...
It may be small, but look how thin it is. Mike says that all the time. I love it.
I was just sad that I was actually sitting at the end of the table with my back to these people, so I couldn't see it. I knew they were there, and you guys were talking about it, but I'm like, I can't just turn around and look. I'm like, damn it.
I saw the train wreck in my peripheral.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so we're through the boot. We pass on knowledge here. That's what we do.
We're helping
a font of knowledge.
So if you're on a date, don't be on your Bluetooth headset.
No, we're not going to help daters because... You know.
We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
We're all gamers that
I'm
are witnessing
married,
dates.
You're
like
not
this.
Married, but you're swimming in pool. So, you know.
Lightly floating.
Lightly floating.
Water. Okay. Fair enough. But.
It's like a sea anemone.
I'm more like a jellyfish. I'm moved by the current rather than my own propulsion, but I am nonetheless afloat.
Thank you for that.
I wish this were a video cast because I think. Beth just shot gin and tonic out of her nose.
Yes.
Did you really? That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, honey.
Here's where I'm going with it. Because the date people, we don't care. And we probably have nothing to add to it anyway.
Well, you're a better person than the rest of us.
You're young and
looking out
virile.
For the propagation of our species.
Yeah.
We're done.
We don't want to propagate anymore.
No more.
I've seen the bag of frozen peas. I know Pat's going to propagate it.
Those peas were good, too.
Yeah, did you eat them?
Yes!
Hold on.
He tried to make us eat them.
Stop! Because the bag of peas has to be saved for a bedtime story.
So the question here is,
what is date dar? How do you identify a dating couple in a restaurant?
It's not no,
why you would do that, because if you have to ask why you do that...
You don't care.
You don't care. We can't explain it
to you. No, it's not about identifying a dating couple. That's easy. A two-top with a guy and a girl is probably a dating couple.
Mm-hmm.
It's the question of where they are in the relationship arc.
Yes, that's the truth.
Are they at the awkward beginning? Or are they at the awkward, it's been too long? Mm-hmm. And Brodor was there. He made a good point. You can't tell the difference. Like, this table next to us could have been a horrible first date, or it could have been two people that were deathly tired of one another, and we would never know because the level of disengagement was the same.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, if you remember, we told the story.
The circle complete.
We told a story a long, long time ago, how we went to this bar called Scottish Arms here in St. Louis, and there was a nerd date.
Was it a nerd date?
She was sort of hipster, thick glasses, nerdy, and he was a little awkward.
Is that the guy that was... On his phone?
Yeah.
They both were on their phones.
Sat down, and it was screaming of a date, and he is on his phone. He will not look at her.
Was she on it, though, too? I can't remember. I thought she did maybe two.
No, I think it was
just him. Somebody can go back in time and listen to the episode and then find out the facts of what we saw. And that version is fresher than this version.
Wait. All I have to say is we don't have to have somebody go back and listen to it. We should just get Osri Vep on the mic right now.
Where is Charles?
Hey, Osri, how to go down? Because he'll know because he's listened to it like he's 50 times.
He's one of our super fans.
He's my super fan.
He has the number one
fan shirt with my face on it.
Yes.
Which I also have.
Okay.
Anyway.
Do you wear that to dates?
I know, but I wear it to the gym.
So now that we just made his week.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, the thing is that this guy was on his phone instead of paying attention to the girl. And whoever we were, I think it was John and I, we had a full view of this. And it was like
I think it was you, me, and Dan. You were there too, Pat.
I was there. And again, I had my back to him. I was sitting, I was like, God damn it.
John and I were like knuckle biting. Yeah. We were drawing blood because we were like, no, get off the goddamn phone.
I remember this because at one point you guys were going on and on about it. I'm like, holy shit.
It was like watching a train wreck.
phone out and took a video of it, like over my shoulder, just so I could see some of it.
Because
I'm like, I can't turn around and look, but I'm like, boom,
subtle or anything.
Wow. It was fail. It was like somebody shooting, and John and I were talking about strategies of how we, total strangers who shouldn't be involved, could save. I mean, it was like jumping in front of a bullet, but this guy was totally blowing it. Anyway,
I don't know. I think it was a mutual.
Well, by the end of it,
no one at that table cared about anything that was going on. It's like, why are you even there?
Yeah.
In fairness, if a guy I'm with is completely on his phone, I'm going to check out.
No, no, no. I don't know who checked out first, but I would have. Of course, I'm not arguing with that. I'm like, there was nothing there to say.
Yeah. So Date Dar tonight, though, was we go to a sushi place, right? And we go to the sushi place and they're like, how many? And we're like, well, we've got four. There's a fifth coming and then two more later after that. So, and the place is packed. So they're like, big table, crap. Well, they have this sort of side room, right?
We were quarantined.
We were on the dais.
Side room, total separated from everybody. There's a wall in the way. All is great. Eight chairs, great. And we were like, oh my God, we could be loud, we could be obnoxious, we could be terrible.
We exercised all of these rights.
Yeah, yes, exactly. We could get, we're like,
so we can be normal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We can be normal and relaxed in a restaurant. And it was great. So there's an eight person table there and a two person table.
One sad two person table.
Out? So you got like
totally cut off from the door, from the window,
the kids,
everything.
They couldn't make
sushi party table.
Yes.
And the romantic evening table.
Yes.
It'd be like a Tony's set up in the middle of a Chuck E. Cheese.
You have no idea how.
No. It's not the romantic two person table. It's the kids' table. And it's the
mom and dad.
No, well, it's the birth control table.
Yeah. 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 You have no idea how tempted I was to look at those guys and say, hey, are you guys on a date? Because we're totally ruining it. Why don't you scoot your table and plug it into ours and we'll just party?
That's right.
I should have done that.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Man had a Bluetooth in, and they were kind of talking at first, but we were really loud and very obnoxious. And like,
and very obviously talking about wizards and lasers and crap.
Multiple bottles of sake in.
Did Alan Moore's beard come up at that point?
Really,
I started singing Mikey Mason's Alan Moore's beard song.
We were making really terrible 9/11 jokes.
I took no part in that.
Uh-huh. And so I noticed after a while that they stopped talking. Unlike the Scottish Arms one, I don't think it was their fault.
No, it was our fault.
It was our fault.
We're
really?
Terrible
that's the thing,
it was the feng shui.
I wasn't
room.
Even witnessing they it at all, so I didn't even know.
That was a bad room to get in. That was a bad table to get on a date night. I did notice that he had one of those bombs of sake. I'm making a motion with my hand because everyone could see that, right? So it's like a, what, 3-inch high? But it's basically... Four cups of sake, I guess.
A pitcher of sake.
Yeah, a little thing of sake. I mean, they were there for 30 minutes. He drained that dry. They started out talking. They stopped talking.
And he just started drinking.
Yeah, he started drinking. They scarfed down their food, and then they left. And I kept looking over, glancing over there, and it's,
To be on the other end of that, Pat and I, for our fifth anniversary, went to a very fancy restaurant that burned down, by the way.
Oh, the Seventh Inn.
And it was... build is very romantic, very low light, the whole thing. So we get in there and there is a huge party, like 20 people, and they all of a sudden the lights start going up and we're like, what is going on? And they're like, welcome to the St. Louis University Doctor's Christmas party. Now on with our play.
Well, you guys are theatrical, you sing and stuff.
Trust me, I love this. This was great.
I believe you.
Started singing Christmas carols about goiters. I was like,
it was a doctor's office there. They're having their Christmas party there.
Jingle balls, balls. Yeah, I mean, we're total,
all this inappropriate crap and everything. And so
just
and they went on with this, and they had presentations and they had people got up and spoke. I was enraptured, to be honest with you.
You were loving it. That's like, oh my God.
No, she was fine.
I was not. I was pissed.
Oh,
I was
really?
Yes.
you're spending Valentine's Day with Chad and I watching House of Cards. Don't come off as the maligned, betrayed romantic here. We know you better than this.
We're okay, ordering Pat to take the kids and leave the house on Valentine's Day so you can have two men come over to watch political soap operas.
That's how I roll.
Yes. Uh-huh. While we make pie and
liquor.
Welcome
to Wildwood.
That's right.
But yeah, so they started singing about goiters, and the people behind us were beyond livid.
Oh, I remember that.
And
yeah,
we bonded with them, then the other people at the table had driven in from Cape or something for their 10th anniversary, and they were mad. Mm. So then
At least they weren't in Cape.
So the long and short of it, though, is that after about 10 or 15 minutes of this,
The
owner came over, and actually it was to the one that was complaining.
Yeah.
They actually called them out. They said, we want to speak with the manager. You know, the one that was behind us was playing about it. So they spoke to the manager and said, yeah, this is unacceptable. You know?
Yeah.
And like all kinds of livid. I thought it was amusing and funny. I didn't care, but it was obnoxious.
I was ready to go, but Pat had given my present to the waiter to bring out with dessert. He's like, no, we can't go yet. We can't go yet.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. I did do that. Oh my God. That's right. Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah, they bring sorbet and I'm like, why I have ice cream between my...
So
that's how much a Hoosier.
But after they complained, so then the manager basically took the six of us and put us in a private room.
Oh, okay.
So it was really cool. So we had the rest of our meal in there, and then they were mortified because they did not realize that this party was going to go to that extent. They just thought it's a dinner party.
Yeah.
They're going to have
they're going to have a lot of people.
They've come here. It's a nice restaurant. They're going to have a nice meal.
They didn't realize they were going to put on a production.
And literally disrupt the entire restaurant.
Much like the people tonight at the sushi joint didn't think that they were going to impanel a podcast in a room with one other couple that was trying to go on a date.
Exactly. I will say we were making a lot of lewd jokes. Okay. We were a couple of bottles of sake.
Yeah. I was talking about Chris at one point. I mean, good God.
Yeah. So we were making some rather off color comments and jokes and stuff, but we also, because we are gigantic nerds and really handsome and intelligent and wonderful people,
naturally
we were also talking about some really cool stuff too. And I noticed that the guy kept looking over whenever we did the nasty jokes. He would look away, but whenever we started talking about something interesting, he would kind of crean his head and look over.
You should have given him a podcast card.
Like I said, it's my fault.
We should have just annexed them.
It is my individual thought because I had that thought.
Yeah, Chad.
I should have reached out because I'm the loud guy. I'm the obnoxious guy. I'm the one who pulls people in. My job. And I failed at it. I should have pulled those people in.
Fail.
Is what I should.
Put a post on Miss Encounters.
I'm sorry.
Tonight. Yeah, Miss. Yes.
I should.
To the couple that was at Crazy Sushi that we screamed at in that tiny room.
To Crazy. Yeah,
we're
Crazy
sorry.
Sushi Bluetooth.
Crazy Sushi Bluetooth and not we're quite so- young woman and.
Oh. That's cruel. I think it's time to fold that.
So
I had like five or six
other. When to kill an RPG?
Yes.
Just like we need to kill this conversation. Yes,
right. You caught the parallel.
Oh, I love it.
Did.
I see. I love our transitions.
I know.
So
right?
Good at
smooth transition.
Smooth. Yeah, smooth, unfiltered. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about.
You killed my game. You
killing
bad.
The game.
Aww. I've killed like 10 of your games.
Oh
Chad.
My God!
It goes with being friends for this long.
I have to say that I've probably had more games killed, rightly so, than I have had successful games.
Oh,
I think so. I'm either even or I'm slightly negative.
That, we love you, Chad.
I haven't really. I love me too. But
but right, what we right,
sometimes okay. multiple times a night. But
what we want to explore with this topic tonight is. How do you know when it's the right time to kill a game?
I have to say that this was a very good killing. To give a little bit of background, what I did last year, which was probably about
a month ago.
I'll
see you next year. I still make that joke. It's still funny.
Every time. What I did is I proposed a game. I had an idea. It's like, let's do something a little different for fantasy. You know, not like let's go totally off the rails, but let's do something different. Let's play a game where we are all dwarves in Moria. I think I just watched The Desolation of Smog or something. And you know, I was looking at that kingdom. It just wasn't a castle shoved into a mountain with a bunch of mines going on. I mean, I was really struck by the fact this is a city filled with a civilization inside of a mountain range that
did
is self-sustaining.
Did you play Dwarf Fortress or did you just call the game Dwarf Fortress? Because
we didn't call it Dwarf Fortress.
I've heard someone refer to this game as Dwarf Fortress.
It might be.
Okay.
It wasn't me.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, I am familiar with Dwarf Fortress, the insane video game that's an ASCII. But
losing is fun.
Anyway, and I just had these thoughts rolling around my head of how do you have a civilization that is inside of a mountain? And, you know, yeah, you make some stuff up and you fantasy it a bit and you say it's all dwarves. And I'm like, what would it be like to run a straight Pathfinder game with dwarves?
And it was cool because we took an individual neighborhood and defined that specific neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a lot of fortitude saves. like a lot.
Well, yeah,
and a lot like of a beards. Lot.
Yeah, and the whole thing was, too, that we were not playing a kingdom level game where we're in fact, that was when I pitched it to my group, most of whom are here. I asked them a bunch of, when they said, yeah, we'll try it, I asked them a bunch of questions. I asked them, you know, it's like, do you guys want to play this on a kit where you're interacting with the king and it's like politics and stuff? And you guys were like, well, we want some politics, but we don't want the big overarching House of Cards and Dwarf City sort of thing. We want more of a
Is
a
it the
local.
Menopause?
Is it the menopause?
I love that woman like a Balrog loves gold.
So we were like, we pared it down to a neighborhood and what was going on in the neighborhood. And we made characters for the population in the neighborhood. We made a baker. We made an innkeeper. And not just like, oh, well, there's this guy and he's named this and he runs the general store. It's just like, well, what's his connection to the other people? What's his connection to the baker across the street? There's like jealousy there. And what's the definition of the...
People are related.
Yeah, people are related. And then, okay, let's intersect our lives into this. You know, it's like, okay, I'm related to this guy who's a jealousy to this.
Oh, yeah.
And we all...
You gotta make a big old mess.
We did make a big
right out the gate. That's how you make a good game.
And that's what we did. And we set up this whole, and we delineated it all. Beth wrote it all down for me because my spelling and handwriting is just undecipherable.
And you also can't remember anything.
I can't remember anything
either.
You're
the greatest GM ever.
I am. So, you know. So, Chad, remember that +20 sword I had?
Yeah.
Why, yes.
So, so we made this neighborhood, right? And it was very cool. It was living. It was breathing. People made characters, a lot of dwarves, but we also had elves, and we would, like, work the elves, and they were very foreigners and out of their element.
The one aspect that I liked, because this is just something we did when we were making it, I liked this. We decided, as a group, that we could play anything we wanted to. Mm-hmm. We were going to play dwarves.
Right.
Mostly. Because humans are always in everything. I said, how about this? There's no humans in this game.
Yeah. There were no humans. There isn't an absence of human. Like, where did the children of men go? No, I mean, it's just like...
What are you talking about?
This is a planet filled with dwarves and elves and
I said, you know, we've never done that before because, you know, certainly, I mean, if Dan was there, you're like, I'm playing a human because Dan plays humans. But I was like, you know, we've never played that before. Let's explore it. So we just didn't have humans in it. It was interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody put a lot into this. People put a lot into their characters. People put a lot into the neighborhoods. I put a lot of like sort of brain sweat into the overall world and how everything worked together.
Yeah, Civil War going on and people had factions and it was all, I mean,
it was after the Civil War.
It was very rich and very, then Snowpocalypse happened.
Yes, and that was not in game.
Yes.
and so we played maybe what?
Two
games of this and it ended up that That big polar freeze thing happened.
The polar vortex.
Yes, hit us in the Midwest.
We got like 13
airborne toxic event.
We got 13 inches of snow. Chad texts me. He's like, "Are we playing today?" I'm like, "No." If you'd like to hitch up a dog sled and try to get to my house, you're more than welcome to do so.
I just had to make
however,
it official.
That sounds like official. A fun RPG.
And so, you know, then we came back and then played like one game.
No, we never went back to it. Kids got sick.
The kids got sick then, after that.
Then Snowpocalypse happened. There was like a secession.
Christmas happened right before
then Christmas.
And this is right at the holidays.
Yeah.
And then
it was kicked off as all good game deaths are by Christmas.
Yeah. Then we had an open game. It's like, okay, now we can start the game. And then something was happening next week where we were talking about it. It's like, well, X is happening next week. I don't even remember what it is. It's planned event.
I think it was the gingerbread game.
Gingerbread game. Yeah. Wayne had gingerbread game. If you follow me on Facebook, I have pictures of it up there.
All he needs is bread.
This is very true.
Very true.
He came in wearing a loaf of bread. It was awesome.
Wayne played a role.
That was all he was wearing.
Wayne ran a role-playing game for us called The Secret Lives of Gingerbread Men, which is very good because it's a good game. And Wayne is a great GM.
It was fun.
It was very
That's going to be an annual event,
fun.
I think.
Mm-hmm. I almost think we should do a bedtime story where we talk about the game and a total gaming story because it was so good and creepy and dark.
Your character was so great.
There may be a day when the oaths of men fail and shields come crashing down and we dedicate a Fear the Boot episode to one gaming story.
Yeah.
But it is not this day.
It is not this day.
You were saying.
So anyway, well, let's play board games now. Do Wayne's game next week, and then we will kick off, and we will start this dwarf game. You know, I'll kind of rewind some stuff. We'll take it from a different perspective, and we'll kind of restart it, you know, and we'll get it. And everyone's like, yeah, we'll do it. Wayne's game happened, and then the next week, and something else happened.
I think our kids got sick again.
My
children just destroy everything.
And, you know, finally, the weekend after that, Dawn and I were driving up, and I was just kind of telling her, it's like, you know what, I'm not feeling this game. And then the opportunity happened. So that was the important thing. The opportunity that I saw, and I socially engineered everybody into this. John said, hey, MLK Day is coming, which is this weekend. I'm coming up. Let's do a one shot.
Which is incidentally why I'm on the mics tonight.
Yeah. Beth says, I will run a one shot. Everyone's like, yes, that's awesome, because Beth runs a really good game. And she's like, oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm just a girl. And we're like, shut up and run a game.
My God, you imitate me so well.
I know, right? You sound
Isn't
just like that.
It funny how we have two relatively novice GMs in our group that we always want to mm-hmm. make run things?
Yes.
Beth and Wayne.
I have been trying to get Dawn to run something. She has said one shot
She's
once or twice.
She's doing the Halloween one shot of Call of Cthulhu. We've made that decision.
Yeah, we have made that decision for her.
Yes, we've made that decision for her. Just to go home and inform her of that.
Yes.
She has several months to prepare.
Yes.
Go.
So Beth had offered to run this, and then Wayne goes crazy, right? Wayne is like...
Well, he's always crazy.
He's always crazy, and he's just like... I'm playing this, and it's going to be this. I have a backup character of this. Sarah's playing this. She's going to be connected to my character like this, and we're doing this and this and this. And if the game goes like this, I can do this. If the game goes like this, I can do this. If somebody wants to play this, I can play this instead. Blah, 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 like paragraphs.
That's a good sign, Beth. When they come to your game with a backup character already generated, that means you've put the fear of God into this.
So
it's a good sign.
So I look at this and I'm like, why stop at a one shot? I don't want to run my dwarf game anymore. I'm not feeling it. The effort required to get it off the ground, we might as well just start a totally new, different game anyway. So what I did is I pitched to Wayne first, hey, what do you think about us manipulating Beth into running a longer ongoing game instead of a one shot?
He's all you like, had to do was ask.
I think that's a great idea.
It doesn't need to be this massive.
And I go to Dawn and I pitch it to her, and she's like, absolutely.
My God.
Wayne Cole, Sunday, 3:23 p.m. We want Beth to run her one shot more than just one session. Text her and tell her she should do it because she does whatever you say.
And that was step two.
The roots are deep.
Wayne and I's conspiracy was to tell John to text you.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yes.
But you didn't text me, did you?
Oh no, because response. I'll present it fake spontaneously after Sunday, but you're right. Counsel is showing defense counsel exhibit A, his iPhone, in which all of this material was written 6 days ago.
Yes.
That's hilarious, because really, after all these machinations, Chad's like, well, how about you run a campaign? I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. The machinations, that's the backup plan. Sometimes all you got to do is just knock and then the door opens. Other times you got
to
get
clever.
You
have to create multiple victory scenarios and run them simultaneously.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
hilarious.
So
there's, I like that.
There's a large
I
machinery.
I always do what you say.
There's a large machinery behind getting you to run this game longer than just a one shot.
So that's, well, I hope that it is not disappointing.
It's going to be wonderful.
I hope so.
It's going to be wonderful.
Okay.
Because the onus is not on the Game Master to make a game wonderful. It's on everybody. It's on the
excellent.
Group. So we talked about it and we decided to kill the game. And I think it was a good thing.
It was a mercy killing.
Well, we never got into it. And, you know, we had so much trouble getting it off the ground. Wayne kind of brings up a point. And Pat and Beth, you guys too do as well. You bring up this point, but kind of in a different way, is that we end our games too soon, too quick. And when we walk away from a game for too long, we never go back to it.
But
and
we never do it to Wayne's game.
We never do it to Wayne's game. And you guys come from a different sort of thing.
Actually, with Wayne's game, we're talking about a singular game with Wayne. We're talking about the Dresden Files.
Right.
So we haven't done it that way yet, but it's not like, I wouldn't say it's not systemic. It's the one game with Wayne.
Right.
So. Well, and my problem,
I think that's different. But that's more like what we're used to. Beth and I are used to.
I will never let Dresden die because Sam is my favorite character I have ever played. Mm-hmm. So that I will always
actually like
come
Silas.
Back to that.
That is my name, right, Silas?
You love your character so much, you don't remember your name.
I don't need to. That character doesn't need a name.
I adopted Angus. I never got to play him in Wayne's.
You're a
game,
blood-sucking lawyer playing a blood-sucking lawyer.
No. That's Joe. I still have Joe. My second character was going to be Angus, the Southern Wizard that got reassigned to fight the Red Court.
Oh, that's right.
Louis.
Yes.
But now I'm running an Angus who is not a wizard. He's a peach farmer in Dan's Online Skies of Glass.
Nice.
Angus lives. He's just not magic anymore.
So
beautiful.
So, I mean, my point was, though, is that you guys have this different sort of tradition, whereas my group, coming up with Dan and some other people, mm-hmm. we take the games out back when there's trouble and we blow a hole in the back of their head.
I think trouble is one thing.
This game wasn't in trouble.
Trouble is one thing, but that's not always what it's like. I've played in plenty of games where the game just didn't work and we stopped it and we didn't go back to it. What we're talking about more, it's things like the holidays happen.
Right.
Life happens and we're busy and we're off for a month or more, or six weeks. We just go back to the game because we've been playing it. And
there was a game.
You know, that's, we've just always done that. And
let me ask, what is the difference between holidays and polar vortex and sickness happen and going back to a game and holidays and polar vortex and sickness happen and we kill this game?
I think it's the traction because we didn't play the dwarf game long enough to really get traction. I think if we had played it for like a couple of months and all of that happened, I think we would have been able to go back to it because we would have a feel for the game and we have a feel for the characters and we would be invested what happened to those characters.
I think you hit the investment.
I think
there was no
dovetails
investment.
Right back to the crappy dated sushi. What do you do on a crappy ninth date versus what do you do on a crappy second date?
Yeah.
If I've had 8 good ones and then a dud, I don't usually throw it out the window right then and there.
Yeah.
If I have a dud on the second one, I probably will. And so it is with gaming.
Honestly, I think the best bit of advice that will comes out of this episode that I'm thinking is don't try to start a game right before Thanksgiving. Because
anytime there's Black Friday discounts in effect, do not start a game. You may continue one that's already been running.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just have one shot.
Because that's about when this happened. I mean, it was sometime
it was
in November
December.
We started.
There was planning.
It was December.
Was it that late? It was after Thanksgiving?
It was after Thanksgiving because
there was character creation. There was world creation, there was planning, so there were a couple of weeks eaten by that before we got to the first game.
Because we played in a game where our GM moved to Columbia, we were in Springfield, and we only played when he came down to visit.
Right.
And then when Pat came up here, and they were all in Springfield, we would only play when Pat was in town, which was maybe at best once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all characters that we had run for, gosh, like at
several
least
years.
Several years. Yeah. So
years and years.
It was very easy to pick it right back up.
So you guys have this gravity well in central Missouri that just sucks away your GMs and your players.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Well,
it's a lifelong problem for you guys.
It is. I shake my fist at central Missouri.
Yeah. You go off to school and then go off to after school, I guess.
That's right.
That's really what happens.
You're an after school special.
I am an after school special. I'm a very special episode.
You are.
The boot.
I love it.
But I think mainly it is... You have to have that traction. If you don't, then it's just too easy to just...
It's momentum. Mm-hmm.
It is momentum. It is absolute momentum.
All that rot.
I would say to get a game going, and it depends too. Are you running a short arc or are you running a longer arc?
Well, and that was my thing, too. I had really planned on just running this as, not short arc is in its one or two games, but I was planning on only running this for probably a couple months. I had planned on killing it by the end of the year. And what my thought was is to hand it off to another GM. And I think I'd even told you guys that this was going to be not a long campaign, but it's going to be a short arc in a campaign.
Just kind of.
I don't remember. See, here's the thing. I don't remember if you said that or not. Mm-hmm. Again, it's all a little hazy because it's the end of the year thing.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be more upfront about that from mm-hmm. now on, because I didn't realize that was mm-hmm. what your thing was. And I think and that changes things, too. But again, that's coming from mine and Beth's perspective of, in the past, we're going to start a campaign and that this is not just going to be a short thing. Unless they just simply say, hey, I'm running a simple one shot, or it's going to be a couple sessions. But it's more like, well, we're going to play this game and we may play it for quite a while.
But I think there's a misnomer about a campaign, because to us, we would play and we'd be playing the same characters, but it wouldn't just be one big long plot thing. There mm-hmm. would maybe be an overall sort of higher level plot, maybe. But even that would interchange some. I mean, you'd have like short story arcs within the same world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's kind of a misnomer, because I think when we say campaign to you, you're thinking of what we're thinking as a story arc.
Right.
Yeah.
But we were all playing the same characters in the same world, but we'd have like a two or three game story arc mm-hmm. and then we'd move on to something else.
Yeah.
It was basically what you guys do here, but we just kept those same characters.
Mm-hmm.
And there just was no resting period between it. But I see the wisdom of having a resting period in it, because I know our GM got tired of GMing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I love me my arcs. I'll run for 2 or 3 months. That's a hell of a lot of playtime hours, assuming you meet once a week for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we did.
Like, that's enough for a big, fat plot arc. And then you can mm-hmm. put it on the bench and do other stuff and then come back later.
And really, in this group, I think that Wayne is our main GM. And he is the newest, least experienced player in GM. He runs a damn good game.
Yes, he does.
And the thing is that as someone who was the main GM in a couple of groups, and someone who has run very long games, and someone who's run very short games, and lots of planning and very little planning, I don't want to burn Wayne out.
I don't want to reach peak Wayne.
Yeah.
Right. I want to have sustainable Wayne.
Sustainable
Wayne. I want
Wayne.
Our group to be sustainable.
And see, that's what we had, and that's what we came from. We came from, we had two GMs, really mainly just the one good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not counting the bad one.
Yeah.
But that was an issue. I mean, you know, he GM'd for us every week, and this mm-hmm. is back in high school and everything.
And this was second edition, so it was pretty labor intensive.
It was awesome.
Fighting in second edition is like doing your taxes.
Oh my God. Awesome.
There's lots of math and some uncertainty and worry, even if you think you did it right.
Exactly. That's just preparing for round one.
Yes.
Certainly the burnout, because I mean, he was the GM. We were the players, and he got to the point where he's like, I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he couldn't, because no one else was there to GM. So that's where you're fortunate in our situation, where we've got people that you can sweat around. But I totally know that. And I don't want to do that to Wayne, because that is a big hardcore thing.
Because I don't want to give up Sam.
And that's where I'm coming from, too, because if you look at my GMing career over the past several years, I ran a lot of games.
Mm.
I ran a lot, and I was really into it. And then it was so weird. When I started writing games, like, you know, Silent Memories and Lucid, my brain switched gears creatively. And I found it very, very difficult to run a game in 2013. It was just a sort of different cycle that my brain was under that made it very unpleasant, even, and difficult to run a game. And I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but I certainly
sometimes
did.
Sometimes you don't want to run a game. Sometimes you're just
sometimes your heart's not in it.
And
doesn't mean you don't love your players. Doesn't mean you're not still a potent mm-hmm. GM, but sometimes you just don't.
Sometimes
run a game
mommy
right
and
now.
Daddy don't. Yeah. We can't live with each other.
What I've found is that I've been trying to get back into the GMing cycle, and I'm having trouble doing it. I am more interested in playing now, and I'm really struggling with the GMing concept.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you have to do. You have to play until you get that itch again.
I want to write another game in 2014. That's one of my goals. Not a New Year's resolution, because I don't believe in that crap, but one of my personal goals is to have another completed game in 2014, and I have a slate of 3 different game ideas I need to pick and start running with. I don't think that I'm going to be on the GMing track anytime soon. I'm finding that's hard for me.
Really?
Yeah. I want to be the GM. I don't know. I think it's sort of a pride thing.
You don't want to run a game, but you want to be the GM.
Be the GM. I want to have the title. I want to be able to say, well, I'm a GM, right?
Well, if you want, when I run my game, you can wear your innie, and then you'll feel special.
Yes.
You come over to the Pat side. That's what it is, Chad.
That's right. Just let all these bitches do it all for you.
That's right.
That's right.
No, there's a difference between identity
dance,
of the
monkeys,
role
dance.
And actually doing it.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be a bodybuilder. Ain't nobody want to lift no heavy ass weights.
That's right,
Coleman.
That's right.
That's a life philosophy.
It is. You know, as silly as it sounds, and as much as we're laughing about it, I hadn't really thought of it that way until just now. Until I've talked about it and got it out. It's just like I really want to GM, but I really don't want to GM right now. I absolutely want to play, and I absolutely want to create a new game. But yeah, I don't think I should GM.
That's why you surround yourself with 27 people that can all GM to game with you, which is what we all have done.
Now, to bring this back a little bit to our main topic of discussion.
If nobody's learned anything, I've learned something.
I would say this is a bit of a revelation. Do you think this was sort of the driving force behind your decision in this? Because,
you know, with the dwarf game, I put effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that I shirked on it. I hope I didn't.
No. I don't think you did at all.
I don't think you did either.
But
it was pretty involved.
Yeah.
Very.
And I think, when the opportunity presented itself to create the machinery to manipulate running this long game, I jumped into that whole hog. I'm like, yes, finally good. Thank God this opportunity is presenting itself. I have to say it was such a relief.
I think it's good then, because I think the object lesson here is that instead of a topic about when to kill a game, I think really the lesson here is realizing when you need to step away from the chair for a
GM
while.
GM burnout.
So that you're not burning out. I mean, I think that's really what it is. It's more about GM burnout.
Playing, I feel so good talking about
playing
this.
Playing makes you a better GM. You have got to rotate your crops. You can't be an author if you never read.
Right.
And
right.
You can't be a GM if you never play.
You have to
there
know
are lots of GMs who never play because they are the only person who can GM or will GM in their own circle.
Yeah.
So to you all, I apologize. Please find a forum game or an online session game or something and re-energize yourself.
For your own sake. I mean, exactly. Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, I can tell you just preparing for this Sunday, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
She's been sort of stressed this week.
I've been a lot stressed.
Dude.
And I keep telling her not to worry about it. I mean, you're among friends and people want to have fun. That's what we're going to do. Don't worry about it.
Let's do a mini topic. Beth, you're a little nervous.
I'm a lot nervous.
You're a lot nervous about running this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
What are you nervous about and what can we do? Because
there are two scenarios.
I've noticed that GMs get nervous because I get nervous and they never tell anybody they're getting nervous. And so generally speaking, the lesson here is what can a player do to help make their GM less nervous?
There are two scenarios that worry me
that
I'm going to lay everything out and it's just going to be cricket. Bait my hooks and you all are just going to be like, what?
That will not happen.
Or you'll get it all done in like an hour.
That's a possibility.
Just make it harder as we're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I wrote the encounter to have four kobolds and they killed them all, but when the last kobold was at one hit point, the four orcs came.
And there's a mechanical aspect of it of like the encounters, but then there's also like
the plot.
Written material.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, you're gonna go here and you're gonna talk to the mayor, and then you're gonna fight the kobolds, and then you're gonna find the cave, and then in the cave there's gonna be the bugbear, and then after the bugbear is gonna be the princess, and you bring the princess.
Oh my god, Chad, you have the whole thing.
That'll last 4 hours and we blow through, we get to the bugbear 30 minutes in.
Then the princess was an Illithid and the king was the Tarisk and the local viceroy was Groomsh. You just have to make people turn into things that are really hard to kill and are appropriately leveled challenges.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, realistically, though, that works for one or
two
things.
I think he's dead serious.
Are you telling me Groomsh isn't real?
Hey, yeah.
I'm a half-orc. I'm offended.
The group that you're running for, we've run games, we've played games,
you're not going to leave me hanging.
We're not going to leave you hanging, because in past episodes, I've talked about how I have this new way of playing that Adam on Kicking the Dice Bags and I talked about, and we kind of came to this like realization, because I'm this alpha player, right? I'm really loud, I'm in everybody's face, I steal the spotlight all the time. I have this acceptance of it now. I've reached this nirvana point with it, and my goal is to not stop doing that, but to redirect that to make other people awesome, is to get other people to role play and get other people to be awesome in the games and stuff. But I've also been a GM, and I see GM struggle. I've seen Wayne struggling. I've seen Wayne, like, as awesome as a GM as he
everybody
is.
Everybody struggles.
Yeah, everybody struggles. And
nobody's 100%
all the time. I've seen him struggle, and I've taken over the scene. I have, like, okay, I'm going to turn it up to 11, and it's all going to be about me for just a few minutes while Wayne catches regroups. His breath, regroups, and then I'm kind of keeping an eye on Wayne, and then he starts interjecting stuff, and then I'm like, okay, I'll turn it back down away from 11 again. I'm just the extreme example. You have other people who have all kind of other different layers of subtlety and how they play a game. You're talking about a group here that really believes in a collaborative effort, and everybody listening, you everybody plays how they want to play, but really, if you can get your group to be very collaborative, maybe you don't build a world together, maybe you're playing a published world in a published setting with pre-generated characters, be collaborative. It isn't you versus the GM. It isn't you versus the other players. It isn't the GM versus everybody else. It is all of you coming together to tell a story until John comes in and kills you with a poison needle. But if you don't have John
running for you, I pride myself to this day, the first and as far as I'm aware, only time that Dan has admitted the GM has killed one of his characters totally above the board.
Yep.
No malice aforethought, no fudge rolls, nothing. Mm-hmm. Was brought the Goblin Bard getting paced by a weak poison con damage needle on a lockbox that didn't even have anything important in it.
It's so sad.
One of my finest hours GMing.
Well done.
It's so sad. But yeah, you know, don't worry. And if you're a GM who has a group who isn't collaborative and isn't helping, what do you do as a GM? I mean, I think that I would say, well, I know what I would do as a GM. If I have a group that they're not being helpful and they're not collaborating and they're just trying to get what's best for them as individuals and trying to plow through the content, my first thing that I would do is make them GM.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they haven't been in the hot seat. They don't understand.
I would quit and start playing Ultima Online.
I bet.
That's been my solution to adversity since 1998.
No, I get crabby. If I don't think someone's cooperating, guess who the bad guys are going to go for? That guy.
Man.
Ooh.
Vicious.
Maybe that's not nice, but that's, it's like, oh, really? You're going to ignore me? Well, you just have three undead on you. Enjoy.
She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. You just now figured that out.
How long have you guys been married?
Wow. How long have you known me? And you just figured that out. I've worked hard to become
a bitch.
You
better leave this seat down or you're going to get three skeletons on you.
That's true.
Yeah. You like
they're gonna come out of the toilet at me.
You know, you're going to bed, you take your clothes off, and you just throw them in a heap on a pile at the end of the bed, and all of a sudden you hear this like bone rattling. And you're like,
that's right, bitch.
I'm picking them up.
That's right, you're picking them up. Do it a little quicker.
Yep.
That's starting to get hot and bothered now.
She's gonna get out the crop again. I just
Oh my.
Make a
ride check.
Nice.
That's right.
Ride check.
What else is that skill for?
Exactly. Yeah.
I just wonder what fly is for.
I wonder what the crop gets you. Probably like plus two.
Yeah.
Maybe with a fortitude save.
Depends on how big the crop is.
You roll a one and...
So, okay.
We've gone to a bad place.
Beth, what are your other words? I mean, those are your two main scenarios.
Those are my main scenarios that you're going to blow through this.
Too much and not enough.
Yeah, too much and not enough. Okay. I mean, pacing. I mean...
That's everybody's worry.
Or you're going to wander around and... So I've got my...
A word of advice, make more content than you think you need for that one session. And don't worry if we don't get through
it. Exactly. Don't make sure.
That's what I did last time and you didn't get through like a tenth of
it. It's okay.
That's fine.
And that's awesome. Pain. Yeah.
You were upset about that because
that
was a
one
shot.
Games go.
And you were upset because this was a one session thing. That is every GM's wet dream is to have so much content that they don't get through in the session.
But then you don't have to prepare
next week. Honestly, it's like, holy shit, I don't have to spend 5 hours,
for a campaign
than
a one shot because a one shot has to be coiled a little tighter.
The rule of thumb that I think is plan for two sessions, play for one session.
Oh, crap. And I have to go do more work tonight.
You're welcome. Now you don't have to do anything.
We're not playing until Sunday. You guys
that's
like
right.
Two whole days.
Yeah. No. my children will be up tomorrow. I have to go playing tonight.
You have a hyper-imaginative set of little bitty boys.
Well, that's true.
Ask them what scary goblins do and just write it into the plot.
Duncan actually came up with a ghost monster for Wayne in his Ectocon game.
That's perfect.
The mummy that comes out of the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Mm. That's really clever, actually.
I could see Dan Aykroyd writing that on a script in the 80s.
Because because I said to him, well, we're going to be writing a game. What do you think? And so he made up this elaborate scenario of how to kidnap all of you. And nice. Make you fight zombies.
They don't
and
know
stuff.
Trope. They're not embarrassed by doing things that have done before. All of their ideas are completely novel to them. Mm-hmm. That makes them dangerous.
Yes, but have you ever had to have a 7-year-old explain something to you? It's excruciating.
Duncan has explained stuff to me before.
God love him.
And then
he loses his train of thought and he'll sit there and pause for like 5 minutes. Oh, and like, spit it out, kid. Spit it out.
So they don't have refined presentation style.
No.
But they came up with the mummy out of toilet paper.
Which is really clever. I like that.
And you know, we can work.
So anything else? Anything else before we close it out here?
It's mainly pacing. I'm concerned about pacing.
That's everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody fails at it. Everybody succeeds at it. But you know what? Think about this.
You'll have more fun if you're not worried about if it takes too long or doesn't take long.
Well, my problem is I just don't have the experience to know. Okay.
Just relax and enjoy it. And find it beautiful and natural however long it takes.
Wow. Okay.
Be self-conscious.
Pat is covering his face.
Make whatever noises and expressions that come naturally. Don't try to be demure.
Have you ever known me to be demure?
No, but I'm giving general advice to the audience.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Wow, your face is like red as hell.
I know. Well, Pat's covering his. He was covering his eyes a minute ago.
That's beautiful. I love it.
But yeah, 2014 for me. I'm not going to run a game.
All right.
I mean, I'll run some for Fear the Con. I'll run one shot here and there. But
2014 for me, I will run games.
There you go.
You heard
and
it here first.
What is all of our goal? To get Dawn to run a game.
She's running Halloween. I've made that decision.
Let the butchery begin.
Vamp Cow is coming.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap that one up here. I think we've, like you said, this is good. Yeah. So we learned things. Chad learned about himself.
Yes.
That's really, you know, that's remarkable.
That's all I care about.
We learned that if you're on a date.
I mean, he already forgot what he learned.
I know.
Exactly.
We learned that if you're on a date, don't sit by us.
That's right.
And take your Bluetooth out.
Yeah. Yes.
Take it out. Turn the phone off. It's all about her or him.
And go get your tickets for Fear the Con 7.
Sign up for my game.
Sign up for my game. Tickets will be accepted.
By the way, my Bozeman's Best Police Reports Part 2.
Uh-huh.
I have altered it slightly.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Okay. I have seated 5 people, and I've taken the alternates up to 99.
I'm so there.
God.
I am going to seat any alternate that signs up. I will run a mega game.
I'm there.
You know, that's the thing. Yes. Depending on how many sign up, that will dictate where you go.
You may have to have a whole room.
Yeah, we may. If it is as wildly popular as it could be, you might be in one of those side rooms just because that's where you need to be.
You'll be in the parking lot.
So look forward. Again, the dates that I never to get around to earlier, it's June 13th, 14th. The wing night is the 12th, Thursday the 12th.
It's Friday the 13th, people.
Nice.
VeraTheCon.com and sign up, buy your tickets.
Go
put
now.
Put some games in
we'll
there.
Wait.
Sign up for games.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end that one here. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for listening to Chad and his revelations.
Yes.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.